Praise God. You know, I'm just so moved by all that we've done and seen this morning. We didn't come for power this morning, you missed a blessing.
Yes.
The Word of God is it's pretty awesome. And my eyes look red, it's not because I've been drinking. I have not been drinking. I worked last night. And then I went off and forgot my eye drops to get rid of the red. It's not by zinc, it's to get rid of the red. So, you know, you need your eyes. Mother Teresa, Sister Teresa just had surgery. You need your eyes, okay? And I can see very well, though. So just ignore the red, okay? The Lord gave to me a message about light. And so, you know, you need two things to see. You need to have vision, first of all. But even as good as your eyes are, if you have good vision, but it's all in darkness, you still can't see anything. So you do need some light.
Amen.
And so the Lord gave me a light in the way. I'm going to be looking at the book of Acts, 26th chapter. But, you know, we have heard some wonderful stuff and sang some songs to the Lord. Aren't you glad you saved today?
Amen.
And give the Lord a hand, praise God. The Lord has done something for you today. You know, He has been so good to us. Sister Teresa was up. You know, I almost started to cry, and I just felt like, wow. You know, and as we sang the songs, and as Sister what's her name again?
Anita.
Sister Anita started to just share, just to worship the Lord. And I thought, wow, we serve an awesome God. And He's so good to us. We had a lesson this morning and we were talking about the parables. And I thought about how merciful God is to us. We mess up and He doesn't kick us to the curb. He doesn't kick us out of the kingdom because we mess up. He just keeps on loving us. He just keeps on lifting us up. Jesus, when He walked around and He taught for 3.5 years to the disciples, and He would show them how to do it, and they would mess up, and He'd say things like, "Where's your faith?" But He never kicked them out. He said, "Okay, that." He never said, "Okay, that's enough. I'm done with you. You know, you go somewhere." No. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you."
All right.
Okay, praise God. A light in the way, we're going to be looking at, light from the standpoint of one of the greater writers of the Bible. His name is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to be looking at the 26th chapter and a situation in a part of his ministry where he goes before King Agrippa. King Agrippa was the great grandson of Herod the Great, who was the Herod, the king that was after the baby boys when Jesus was a child. If you remember, king. So this king would be that great grandson of that one there. Anyway, let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful today for being in the house of prayer this morning. We're thankful for your people. We're thankful for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank you for that light. We thank you, Lord, for giving us sight. And we thank you for giving us light. We thank you for your love for us. Show us a little bit better today how important that light is in the life of the saint. We love you today. Bless your word as it goes forth to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so
praise God.
26th chapter, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to start reading at if I seem a little slow, it's because I'm sleeping. So I told Sister Anthony, if you see me slowing down, it's like I'm forgetting. If we get a wad of paper, just throw it at me. Wake up, you know. But I'm going to read from verse 13 and read through to verse 18. And, okay. Okay, I'm going to start reading from 13. It says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, of above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn from the darkness to light, turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Beginning of this chapter started out with King Agrippa. Paul is before King Agrippa, and he is being another one of the trials that Paul had to go through. And he was on trial preaching the gospel, and him preaching the gospel, he was arrested for disturbing the peace because he was preaching the gospel. And so he gets an opportunity. And in the first verse of that chapter says, Then Agrippa said to Paul, You are permitted to speak for yourself. And this was an opportunity that Paul wanted, but at the same time, they were after Paul to kill him. And so he was actually in protective custody by being under King Agrippa. And so he goes on and he starts to orate what happened to him in chapter 9 of the book of Acts when he was on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was on the road to get letters from Damascus to go and have Christians put in jail. Now, what's important about that is that when you think about how the Lord takes us through things, and Paul was going through this process, not just because God called him, but because God was, the Bible tells you that whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And so what Paul had been doing up until this point was having Christians put in jail. So guess what God do to him? He had him put in jail. Because whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. At the same time, and this is what's so good about this, when we were in power out this morning, God even uses our mistakes.
Yeah.
And his mistake caused him to reap what he was sowing, and so he was in jail because he was having people put in jail, but at the same time, God was using him even in jail. This is the God we serve. God can take your mess and turn it into what?
A message.
All right. Let me say that again. Okay. God can take your mess and turn it into a message.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
So you can mess up and it's all right with God. God didn't choose us. He didn't call us because he thought we were going to be perfect. He called us and chose us in spite of the fact that he knew we'd mess up. Amen.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
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 You know, amens. But look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, at midday. And if you remember back in chapter, I think it was chapter 16, it was at midnight. And Paul and Silas were in jail then.
Yeah.
And they prayed. And you know the story of that. So it looked like he was praying in jail at midnight. Here he is in jail, but here it is where he encounters the Lord, and it's midday. So it looked like Saul was always in the middle of something. But he says at midday, I saw in the way. Now, Saul got up that morning having a plan that he was going to go to Damascus. He had this all planned out. But you know what they say about our plans, what God does with our plans. God has his own plan. And so he got up that morning. Everything was cool. He thought he was going to go with these letters and that. But before that day ended, he would be blind and on his way to Damascus. He was on his way to Damascus, but he wasn't going to get no letters. So this is what happens. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and think we know where we're going that day, and God takes us a whole different place.
I know that's right.
But this whole story is about light. Because Paul was walking in darkness and didn't know it. He loved the word. He was protecting the law of Moses. He was a Pharisee. We never hear about this, but Saul, had to have been around when Jesus was preaching. He had to be, because he was a Pharisee. And who were the ones that came along that were following Jesus around and trying to find fault to accuse him? It was the Pharisees. I wouldn't be surprised if Saul wasn't one of those Pharisees. It was never brought out. But at that point, you can just say, well, Saul was a no-name then. But then when time came, God would use that same man who was fought. Remember, because he was there when Stephen got stoned. He was there holding his coat. So most likely Saul was there walking around following Jesus with the rest of those Pharisees. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? So it says, at midday, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So the light that he saw was a light that he needed, because he was walking in darkness and didn't even know it. And this is where the world is. The world is in a dark place and they don't even know it.
Amen.
And this, when you think about how God has given us the light, we recognize that we have a very important calling as those that what? He says we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
When you look at the definition of light, now we know what light is, right? You see the light up there, you know, the ballast. You got the sunlight. But when you look at the definition of light, light has more than one definition. And what does light do? So light is defined as an agent that stimulates sight. It makes things visible, illuminates them. It gives you understanding or enlightenment. And then you look at the purpose of light. The purpose of light is not only to allow you to see, but also expose darkness. And in a different sense, you've heard the phrase that shed some light on the subject. So the shedding of light, meaning to do what? Bring about insight and understanding. So there's more than one idea of what light is for and what we use it for. So when we think about light as being a means for understanding and insight, it gives more clarity as to what we do as children of the light and as those that, as those that are what? We are the light of the world.
Yes.
So we not only shed the light on the dark places, you know, the exposed darkness, but we also bring about what? Understanding. Understanding of who God is, understanding of what God has done for us, and understanding of how he loves us. Amen?
Amen.
You're following me, right?
Oh, yes.
All right. So Paul is going back to chapter 9, and he talks about how he encountered God for the first time and how God, he thought he had light because he knew the word. But God showed him that you don't know what's going on yet here. And that light that he thought he knew what light was, because the sun was out. It was the middle of the day, but God had a light that was brighter than the sun.
Wow.
And that sunlight blinded him. And so this is how God blessed Saul. I'm sure you're blessing here. God gave him sight, and he gave him light by what? Giving him blindness. Selah. You know what the word Selah means? It ends with a lot of psalms. You read the psalm and it ends, it says Selah. Which means what? Think about that. He blessed him with blindness. We don't think about that when we think about it. When we find ourselves in tough scenarios, in tough positions, in tough situations, we don't think about it that this is God doing something. God is taking us through a process to get us. Is that somebody's coming?
Yeah.
God is taking us through a process to get us to a place where he wants us to be.
Amen.
Paul, he was called Saul. He was called Saul, and you read about where him and Silas were partners, him and Barnabas, and him and Silas, and then all of a sudden his name changes from Saul to Paul. That's not accidental. But this is what light does. When light, it not only exposes the darkness, but when light leads us to the Lord and where the Lord wants us to be, we find ourselves with a brand new name.
Yeah.
I was Warren Jones from Compton. now I'm Warren, son of the living God.
Amen.
He gives you. So when you think about it, if Saul was with Jesus that whole time, and he was a no name at that time, you see where it was wooing Saul all along. Because we see where he got this encounter with God on the road to Damascus, but we think he just appeared there out of nowhere. He didn't just appear out of nowhere. God was wooing him the whole time. And so this was his day. And God blessed him. We don't think of the things that we go through, the hard things, as blessed. But this is what God does. But this is why the Bible says what? All things work together for good.
Yes.
To them that love him and are called according to what? Not your purpose, but his purpose.
Amen.
Sorry. So what Saul meant for evil, God turned it around for what? So we need light. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about light.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be able to see.
Yes.
And not with just my physical eyes, but I'm glad that God gave me a spiritual eye where I can see.
Yes.
We work in the hospitals, and we have to have spiritual eyes, even on our job. We have to see through a lot of these people, a lot of these patients, what their actions are about. It's not always about what they're saying. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not always your husband who's after you. It's not always him. It's sometimes it's the spiritual thing going on through him. It's not always your wife, just because it's not just that she's not always having hormonal problems. Sometimes the enemy will use you. And so you have to be aware. You have to have spiritual eyes. I never forget when me and my wife were young. We hadn't been married more than 5 years. And the Lord saved me first. And I knew she didn't know the Lord at the time. And the Lord blessed me to understand that and to pray for her. And then one day, I'll never forget it. We were in our little one bedroom apartment. I'll never forget it. And we were having our little disagreement. And I said to her, you need Jesus. Just like that. And she put her head down because conviction had hit her. And that's all I said. I didn't have to argue. I didn't pull out the Bible and go from Genesis to Revelation. I just left it. And I let God do it. And the next thing you know, she got saved too.
And we got
baptized on the same day at church. We got baptized together. But that's God. God draws us with what? Cords of what? Love.
Yeah.
The love of God is phenomenal. It's ridiculous. It's out there. You know?
It is.
So I'm glad about the light. And so God, God blessed him with blindness and blessed him with 3 days of blindness. So where he got up that morning thinking he's on top of the world, he's a Pharisee. You don't understand what a Pharisee was, right? A Pharisee was a religious leader of that time. They were equivalent, if he were in our day, to a U.S. Supreme Court justice. A lifetime of, this is where he was. He got up that day thinking, I'm on top of the world. I got it together. I know what I'm talking about. Because he loved the law. This man loved the law. And he was going to do everything he could do to protect it. And so all those people that were talking about this Jesus that we've been looking at here, that they've been looking at, no, I'm not going to have it. Get up. I'm going to go down to Damascus. I'm going to get some letters. Anybody that's running around talking about Jesus and talking about all this stuff, they're going to jail. didn't know what God had another plan.
Right.
He went to Damascus, all right, but when he ended up in Damascus that day, he was blind. For 3 days, he couldn't see. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't drink. He wouldn't talk to nobody because God was working on him. Do you know God will put you in some funny places to get your attention? He uses things in life to get your attention, to get you to think. We were talking about this morning in Power Hour. God needs, he wants us to think.
Yeah.
Think. Think about how did you end up here? I'll never forget that. I remember that, saying that to myself. The last time, I said the last time, I went to jail quite a few times.
Yeah.
4 times to be exact. The last time I was there, I had to think, and I thought about my life. And I said, I have wasted my life. I was only 20. But I thought, my life is wasted. I'm going to be in jail the rest of my life. But God.
But God.
Yes.
God had another plan. Amen. God had a plan all along. I just didn't know it. And when I got in there, I said, God, because I didn't know him as Jesus. I didn't know him as Lord. I didn't know him as Father. I said, God, when I get out of here, I'm going to live for you. A lot of you have heard this story. And I meant that. And I didn't know what I was saying. All I knew was that I believed there was a God. That's all I knew. And I used what I knew. And God held me to it. It would be 7 years later when I would actually give my life to the Lord. But God held me to it. And I meant it when I said it. I was sincere when I said it. So with all that I knew, and what I knew about God was very, very small amount. I remember some of you heard this story, so if you heard it before, you're hearing it again.
All right.
When I was a little kid, I remember running down the street. I had a wonderful childhood, and I would run down the street, and the sun would be behind me, and I would run and try to outrun the sun. You know?
Yeah.
And every time I turn around, I'm still there. But I never forgot that idea. And that idea was just like God to me. And I thought about God. God is always there. I can't get away from him. This is why the psalmist said what? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide?
All right.
If I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the depth of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me, your right hand will hold. Look what happened to Jonah. In the belly of the fish is where he prayed.
All right.
God will put you in the belly of the fish. He'll put you in a dark place to get you to call on him.
All right. Yes. See the light. Yes.
You need the light.
Yes.
We need the light to light the way. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us something. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope.
Wow.
Isn't that something? He had a plan for you before you were born.
Yeah.
You got up here and thought, oh, I'm just like you, just like Paul, just like Saul. We thought we knew. But one day, God shined the light. I love the story of the lighthouse.
Yes.
We don't need lighthouses like we used to. Back in the day, they didn't have navigation stuff. They had stars. And they had, you know, they had I don't even know if they had compasses, but they didn't have the electronic computerized stuff we have today. But they would get out at sea, and there would be times when they would get lost at sea, and there were times when all they would need is a light to show them how to get to the shore, and they would look for light. And every now and then you would come across a lighthouse. And on that lighthouse would be on a hill. And all it would do, it would just spin around. That light would go around and around. And if that sailor saw that light, land ho! And they would turn the ship. They'd know where to go.
Right.
That's what light does. Light guides us sometimes. Sometimes we are going in the wrong direction. You going the wrong way, and the God will send you the light to light your way, the light to show you where you're going wrong. You're going that way. The light is over there. Turn around.
Amen.
go toward the light. And if you go toward the light, you will find rest. You will find peace. You will find the Lord. God has a purpose and a plan. God did not come. God didn't send Jesus to come and condemn us. We don't need that.
All right.
We're already condemned. Because what? We're walking in darkness. We're walking in sin. You're already condemned. But God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that through him, the what? The world might be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus told us. We are the light of the world. And they are, the world is looking for something. And they don't know what they're looking for. They don't know what they need. They don't know what is required. They don't know that they need fulfillment. They're looking for it in drugs. They're looking for it in sex. They're looking for it in wealth. They're looking for it in prestige. They're looking for it in all the wrong places. Give Jesus a chance. Let him shine that light. When he shines that light, just go to the light. You're in the dark, go to the light. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction.
Yes.
He said he sent their word.
You know what?
He gave the law to Moses, but he sent his word and healed them and healed you and healed me.
Amen.
His word.
Yes.
The living word, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word.
Yes.
The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the word became flesh and
dwelt among us.
As the song says, his name is Jesus.
All right.
Sad hearts weep no more. He has healed the broken heart. Open wide the prison doors. He is able to deliver
evermore.
He gave us his law and stone tablets, but he sent his word. His name was Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus is the light. And guess what we are? You know how the sun and the moon are in the sky? The sun has a natural light. What light does the moon have? The moon does not have light on its own, but the moon reflects the sun. And we're here to reflect Jesus.
Yeah.
You are the light of the world. God bless you.
Amen.
God.
God didn't sound too sleepy to me. Hearing that message, all I know is I once was lost.
Yeah.
But now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're walking in newness of life now. We're walking in the light of Christ. And I say, thank you, Lord. See, and it's a purpose because, see, the world in itself, as the preacher said, is darkness. And the enemy want to keep us in darkness. But thank God for the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad he turned the light on in my heart.
Amen.
Praise God. I relish in hearing the testimonies of the saints of God that's been delivered out of the hands of the enemy, that's been in darkness and now walking in light. I can identify with what you're saying. How you gave God that commitment that you're going to live for him. I never will forget it. We'll get ready to close out, but I never will forget my mother was crying like a baby. Just crying. I've never seen her cry like that before. Mother, what's the matter? And all she would say is, where did I go wrong? Mm-hmm. She looked at my older brother. She looked at my sister. She looked at me, the last hope. And I was messed up, tore up from the floor up, as they say. And she was just wailing. And my light just flashed in front of me. I remember how she worked two jobs for us when my dad was nowhere around. I remember how she would just pray and pray and pray till we couldn't wait till as kids for her to just stop praying so we could talk with her. How we were poor and didn't know it. And it was something that I was drunk at the time. And I was high at the time. And she, and here I was divorced. And I was mad at the world. And I was in darkness now. See? Now, but I didn't know what I was saying, but I said, Mama, if you ever cry again, it won't be for me. I didn't know, I didn't have what it took to fulfill what I said to her, but God heard me. Thank you, Jesus. And before that year was out, yours truly was saved. Yours truly was saved. I know that God is here. I know that he wants us to be saved. I know that he wants us to be delivered from the clutches of the enemy. Jesus died that we might live.
Amen.
And we live in a time folks are walking around in darkness and they're not walking in conviction and they're not trying to figure out how to get out of it. But we have to live a life before men and women that they may see Jesus in our lives. And ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Saints, we're on a mission today. Amen. We're on a mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord. So, brother.